بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: عليكم بالسنة وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected Ulama Ikram, brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with Iman, and because of Iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed certain responsibilities upon us. Last week we mentioned and we concluded with one statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us not to become millionaires, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us so that we become saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran Kareem or in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nowhere you can find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that become wealthy or become a millionaire or become one who is living in luxury or become one who is living in extravagance. But every page of the Quran Kareem and every second hadith will tell us that become pious, become righteous, become upright in character, gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, develop the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, behave according to the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, implement the ordinance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives, bring the Quran Kareem, the laws of the Quran Kareem into our families. And we mentioned that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he has three special qualities. These qualities, to a certain extent, can be found in any individual. But Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his speciality about these three qualities was that to perfection it was in him. One was that he was spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the upliftment of deen. And taqwa, righteousness, piety. And number three was that whatever Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented to him, he was the first to accept it without question, without any so-called ifs and buts, without pros and cons weighing as what we do. Difference between Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala and us is very simple. Sahaba, they acted first, then they thought. Today we want to think and then act. That is why Sahaba reached the stages where they reached, and today we are getting the results of our own doings. Because we want to question things. We want to weigh things. Or is it logical? Or is it reasonable? What is the rationale behind it? Oh, if I do it, what benefit will I get? If I do not do it, what will happen? If I do not do it, what will be the consequences? If I do it, what will happen? All these 2002 questions we ask, then we want to decide to still do it. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented something, immediately they implemented it. Immediately they brought it into action. That is why, alhamdulillah, they were able to get so much of success. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, extremely righteous, extremely pious, and he stated, one Sahabi, Hazrat Abu Bakr was talking to him, and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu told him a strong word. Immediately he realized that I should not have said this word. He told that Sahabi, Rabia bin Aslami, he said, "Oh Rabia, that I have said a wrong word to you. Please retaliate by saying the same word back to me." Hazrat Rabia said, "No, I cannot do that." Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said, "That do it please, so that you and I can be equal, that what I have done to you, you have done to me, and I do not have to have any accountability." Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said, "That I wish I was a bird flying, so that I do not have any accountability." So much bigger they had, concern they had, that they are going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said once, "That I wish I was a blade of grass to be cut away and done away with, so that I have no accountability." Because more a person does, more accountability. The more wealth a person got, more accountability. This day that he told the Sahabi that you also use the hard word against me. The Sahabi said no. He said, "In that case, that I'm taking the matter to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I'm going to say Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I have used a hard word on this person and I've told him to retaliate, but he does not want to retaliate. Oh Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell this person to retaliate." Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala on a mere word, today half of the fighting, the quarreling, the abuse, the domestic problems, the local problems, all these problems which we have in our Muslim societies and localities and communities, why? Because the person does not want to control his tongue. He refuses to have his tongue under control, says what he wants to say, how he wants to say it, with no discipline and no control over his tongue. The daughter-in-law and the mother-in-law, the son-in-law and the father-in-law, all these problems that we have because they do not want to talk decently and do not want to address the situation properly. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala went to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meanwhile the Sahabis asked Hazrat Rabia that why don't you say a word, that hard word against this person. He said, "Do you know who is that?" He said, "No." He said, "He is Abu Bakr." "And do you know who Abu Bakr is?" "No." He said, "Abu Bakr is one, that if you please Abu Bakr, that you are pleasing Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when you are pleasing Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Abu Bakr is the one, if you displease Abu Bakr, then you are displeasing Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you displease Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." That is the status of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And piety and righteousness, it is stated that once while eating, he just took a morsel of food and someone told him that this is not legal for you. It is not for you this. He immediately, because it had come from Sadaqah, immediately put his fingers, he thrust his fingers into his throat to remove just a one morsel of food. One morsel of food to remove it. Then he put water, he had to drink water, liters of water, trying to take out and dislodge what he had taken. That one morsel of food which he had classified that his body must not be nourished by that haram. Respected elders, here we are talking of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and one morsel of food. Today buildings people eat up, lands people eat up, oh big jayadas, big property they eat up, and still comfortably you say, "I'm very pious person." They eat the wealth of the orphan and say, "I'm pious." They eat the wealth of the widows and say, "I'm pious." They do not distribute the inheritance according to Islamic law and still say, "I'm pious. I'm very righteous." And exploitation goes on and say, "No, I'm very righteous." And cheating and robbing and backdoor, all this thing goes on, all in the name of Islam. And say, "Oh, very good. I'm very pious person. I'm very good Muslim." Yeah, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one morsel of food he says he does not want to be fed by. The haram morsel. Once his wife, she said she would like to prepare a sweet dish. And he said, "Yes, prepare it." So she saved some money. And this was during his khilafat. in his era of rule. So she prepared it. At the end of the day, he told her, then how much money did you save to prepare this sweet dish? She told him. Then he said, that means I am saving so much of money, more than my allowance. More than my allowance. I'm not entitled to take so much of money. As a result, he stopped taking that quantity, that amount of money from his allowance, saying that this is in excess. And today we have got the general policy. What is coming, let it come, irrespective of where it is coming from. As long as it is coming, so let it come. On one side we can see Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, how he spends in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that he is the one who has spent before hijrah and after hijrah. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala is the one who spent before hijrah even and after hijrah. But contrary to this, while we are talking about spending, you have the quality of miser, a person who is a miser. He does not want to part with his wealth. He does not want to leave his wealth. He does not want to spend in the path of Allah. He does not want to spend on anything. But he wants to hoard his wealth. He wants to keep his wealth. He wants to worship his wealth. The difficulty and the problem will arise when wealth dictates to us. And the day we begin to dictate to the wealth, then inshallah we'll be able to spiritually progress. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has written various stories which I will narrate to you about misers. Listen to them carefully. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that one person, somebody came to him, this miser, somebody came to him, so he began to address the money, as if to say the money can understand him, as if to say the money can comprehend him, as if to say the money is like a human being. So he's addressing the money. He says, oh money. He says, you must be very tired. And then he says, why you must be very tired? Because, oh money, you must have traveled such a long distance before coming to my hand. You must have traveled such a long distance before coming to my pocket. You must have traveled such a long distance going from this country to this country, from this country to this country. Finally, oh money, you have come to my head and you have come to my pocket. He said, oh money, that you have must have went to this town and this town. You must be very tired now, but you have come to my head now and my pocket. He says, oh money, you have must have traveled from this bazaar, and now you have come to my head, oh money. You must be very tired. He says, oh money, you must have went into this shopkeeper's hand and that shopkeeper's hand, but oh money, you have come to my hand now. He says, oh money, you have traveled so long, you must be very tired, but do not worry now, because you have come to my hand, you have come to my pocket, now you will rest, I won't spend you. Understand? This is quality of miser. That he feels that the money that has come to his pocket and his hand must stay there, remain there. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says of another person, he says this person, he was talking to his friend, also another miser. He says, and the misers justify their miserness. He says, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem that we must not be among the mubazzareen, the extravagant ones, the lavish ones. Inna al-mubazzareen kana min ikhwati shayateen, that the extravagant ones, the lavish ones, they are amongst the brothers of the shaitan. So he says, then what do you do? He says, no, I buy, for 1 cent I buy ghee, and I use this quantity for 3 months. He said, how you manage that? He says, no, that every now and then I look at the ghee, and I put my finger and I touch it and I taste it, and I feel satisfied. So his friend says, no, you don't know. I am more thirsty than you. I save more money than you. I am a better person than you. So what do you do? He said, I take the bread, I take the roti, and I come out of my house, and I walk around, and I go into the locality, and when I smell, there is good curry being cooked in this house, because the curry smell comes out of the house. You can make out what curry comes out. He says that I take the roti and I point it to that house and I eat the bread. This is the height people go to. My Jesus. They don't want to pass through their wealth. They don't want to pass through their belongings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this wealth, this trust and this amanat. One person, Imam Ghazali says, that his friend told him that I've got a lot of honey. So the person who had the honey was a miser. But he mistakenly told his friend to taste the honey. So his friend, he put his finger inside and ate one finger. So the miser said, oh, the honey is going again. So his friend put another finger inside and ate another finger load of honey. So his friend said, oh, take it easy with the honey. So his friend put his finger a third time in the honey and started eating it. So the miser says to him, you know, you must not eat too much honey. It'll make your head hot. And it will give you this trouble, it will give you this problem and this difficulty, and it will make your heart throb even heavier and faster, and it will give you a headache. So that person tells him, that may happen to your head, but not to my head. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah says about misers, he says they look for all sorts of excuses, and they are very strange people. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah says there was a king. This king had a minister, and this minister could never see the king be so generous. You have this difficulty, that sometimes the father is generous, the son does not want to be generous. Sometimes the son is generous, the father does not want to be generous. Sometimes the husband is generous, the wife says, why are you spending so much? We'd rather spend on us. Sometimes the wife is generous, the husband is not generous. Sometimes some part of the family is generous and the other part is not generous. What? Why? Because we don't spiritually train our people. We do not spiritually train ourselves that we should spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The family as a unit, the husband, the wife, the children, the father, the son, everybody. Many places you go, the father was generous. He was helping every Islamic cause. But come the progeny, nothing is happening. On the contrary, in some places, the father was a miser, but the sons, alhamdulillah, they began to spread and began to spend their wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result, he who spends, the rule is there, he who spends will get more from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should have this strong yaqeen in us. So this king, who had this minister who was a miser, every time the king spent, the miser's stomach pain. So a poet came there. One poet came there and he recited some poetry in praise of the king. The king told him, 1,000, I give you 1,000. Whatever the currency of that day was, I give you 1,000. And he looked, he sees the minister holding his stomach, failing. He asked the minister, what is wrong? He said, you gave 1,000 away. He said, you know, every time you spend, I get stomachache. Every time you spend, I have to go to the toilet. So he says, now what must we do? I've already in public stated I'm giving him 1,000. So the minister says, no, call him back. I tell him you'll give him, but he must answer two questions. He must answer two questions, then you'll give it to him. So they called him back. The king said, I promised you 1,000, but my minister will have to ask you two questions. If you answer them successfully, you'll get your money. He said, okay. So the minister says, that, you see the king, he has got hair on his body, on all parts of his body. Why does not he have hair on the palm? Why the king got no hair on the palm? So the poet, he thinks, he says, no, that is very easy. He says, the king is very generous, and he is very helpful. He keeps giving, and every time the wealth goes from his hand, the goods go from his hand, he has removed all the hair from his hand, from his palm. So the king got very happy. He specified generous. He said, I give 2,000. He said, stomach will be paying more now. So he said, no. Second question. So he said, that you, O poet, why you got no hair on your palm? So the poet said, no, that is not very difficult. You see, we go to various kings, and we go to various governors, and we praise them. They keep giving us wealth, and they keep giving us property, and they keep giving us gifts, and because we keep receiving it, our prayer is working. So they said, okay, you're entitled to the money now. But the minister said, oh, I've got one more question. One more question. He said, you have explained why the king got no hair on the palm. You have explained why you, the poet, have got no hair on the palm. He said, explain why I, the miser, got no hair on my palm. So the poet said, well, that's not very difficult also. He said, you see, you, O miser, have got a problem. That is why the hair is no more there on your palm. What is the problem? That every time you see the king giving and being generous, and every time you see the poets like us receiving, you burn and burn and you burn your hair off the palm. Respected elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah fadli gave Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu the quality of spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spending whatever he had. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that Abu Bakr is the sahib al-ghar, he is the second of the two in the ghar, and he is the second in the Hawza Kawthar. We know that when they went into the cave, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu went there first. He cleared the place first. Then, because the cave is an unknown factor, you don't know what is in the cave, what can be there, what perils are there, what dangers are there, what can jeopardize your life. But Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when they first, this is what he called true love. He went there first, keeping Rasulullah in the back, and said, I will go there first and see what are the dangers, and remove the dangers, block the holes and make it safe. Then he brought Rasulullah there. This is what we call love. What we call love is everybody was going to battlefield, everybody must do everything, and I'll stay in the background, and I'll take all the credit. No, you have to get down there ourselves and perform deeds with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with love. In the second, in the cave, and in the whole the Kawthar, the pond of Kawthar, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be there, giving water to the Muslims, and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala will be there near him, giving water to the Muslims. And it is stated very clearly in the hadith that people will come towards the pond, and the malaikas will shield them off, will make a barrier and shield them off, soften, that keep away, be far away. You have done those actions which the deen has not got. You have done those actions which the deen has not produced. You have innovated in Islam. So keep away. You are not entitled to that water. In the cave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the enemies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Abu Bakr from the enemies. At the Hawza Kawthar too, the enemies of Islam will be far away. The enemies of Abu Bakr will be far away. The enemies of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be far away. The enemies of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be far away, will be driven away. And the enemies who speak ill of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be thrown far away. The enemies who speak ill of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala will be thrown far away. At the cave and at the Hawza Kawthar, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that he is the second of the two in the cave, second of the two at the Hawza Kawthar. And history records that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was buried first, then came the second, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there also. And you know that twice in the history of Madinah al-Munawwara, when they tried to remove the body of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came in the dream of the governors of that cave, protecting himself, so that the enemies could not reach him and the enemies could not reach Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So the protector at the cave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the protector at the qabr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the protector on the day of the Qiyamah, at the whole of the Kawthar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will protect Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and has protected Abu Bakr's status, position, honor and dignity. And as a good Muslim, we should see that no one utters one word against Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or any Sahaba, especially Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We are agreed on that point, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to practice upon these. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillah.